Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Today on the podcast, we are going to be talking about adult trinket management. Now, I had a couple of other titles for this podcast that I want to throw out there. One was Adult Happy Meal Toys, but I didn't want you guys to be mad at me. Or we could call this Expensive Clutter. So the things that I'm going to be talking to you about today are collectibles, items that you've been collecting, adding to, maybe have been passed down for generations, and they're expensive. I mean, these are not Happy Meal toy prices, but we collect them like they're Happy Meals. Like we have to get everything in the set or everything that came out that year or every collectible that comes out each year in this series of whatever it is that we collect. And you can collect everything from figurines to china to baskets to art, just all kinds of things. You know what you collect. And if you're not really sure what you collect, then look at any of the flat surfaces in your house. And, you know, like your entertainment center where your TV is, or the sideboard by your dining room table, or if you have any ledges or shelves on your walls, everything that's on those ledges and shelves in your walls, the things that are on your dressers, your kids' dressers, or you might even have a whole curio cabinet full of figurines or a lot of different artwork on the walls or special books that hold certain kinds of cards and coins and stamps. These are all collections. And I talked a few podcasts ago about how boys have collections. When I recorded the podcast for girls, I talked about organizing projects and stuff. But when you're talking about organizing for boys, it's usually collections. And as boys get older and become men, their collections just get bigger and cost more money. But girls, as we get older, we become collectors too. And we collect both these collectible items like china and figurines and things like that, but also any projects or crafts or any of our passions, we also use as collectible items. So, for example, if I'm going to scrapbook, I'm not just going to go to the store and buy one scrapbook and one set of paper and a package of stickers. Oh, no. I'm going to buy all of the papers that look fun to me and some kind of organizer to organize the papers and all the stickers I might use in a lifetime and then some. And I'm going to have like a little mini scrapbook store in my house. All of these collections and collectibles that go with the passions that I am into. It is not just about what you are collecting, but clutter results from the act of collecting. Like we like to actually do the collecting to look and see what is new that is out. Like I have a Pandora bracelet that my dad bought me 10 years ago. And every year, Greg will usually add a new charm to my bracelet. It's full now, so I'm not getting any new charms. Hunter was the last charm last year. He got me a little puppy. But every year, you know, he'll bring me home this Pandora book and he'll have me look through at the, there are hundreds, maybe 1,000 different little silver charms that you can put on your bracelet. And before he brought me this little book home, like I didn't need any more Pandora charms. But once I start looking through the book, we go through this idea of collecting. Okay, I know all of the ones I have. Let me see all of the ones that I might want in the future. Okay, let me narrow that down to 3 or 4. All right, these 2 I have to have. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what you're like, but in my mind, like I have to have those charms. Like I'll ask for them for Christmas. If I don't get them for Christmas, then I'll think about them for my birthday. And it's like in my head that I need this charm. I need to add it to my collection because it's perfect, because it's me, because I need it. And it happens in everything. I used to have Longaberger baskets. And my aunt would get the Collector's Club every year. They would have this certain basket that was just for the Collector's Club. And of course, it was in navy and hunter green, which are colors that I love. But you couldn't get those colors in the regular line. You had to be part of the Collector's Club. And I bought a couple of those baskets. Now, they're cute and I like them, but they aren't as functional as the regular baskets. But I got in my head that I wanted that basket that had the navy and the green on it because it matched my house and it was a collector and there weren't that many of them. And then I would have something that was special and unique. And we just get it in our head that we need to add to these collections beyond the joy of the actual item. In our family, as in many, there are different kinds of figurines that you can collect. So when I was younger, I would have a Boyd's bear. It looks like a fuzzy bear, but it's really a ceramic. And I also collect Steiff teddy bears. They were these handmade teddy bears that had a button on the ear. And I loved them because my grandmother would travel to Europe and she brought me one back from Europe. And I had a puzzle that was about Steiff bears. And so I had like one or two of these Steiff bears that I liked. But all of my friends had precious moments. And I didn't have any precious moments. And I really, really wanted to have a precious moments collection because some of my friends in high school had been collecting precious moments since they were younger. And like they had like little numbers, like number 1, 2, 3 with the little precious moments. I think it was an angel that was standing there. And so some of my friends who were like 12 or 13 had all 13 of these numbers because they got one every year on their birthday. And I just loved the idea of them having that collection. It was in their bedroom. It just looked so neat. And I wanted precious moments. But I had Boyd's bears and Steiff bears. And we get this idea when we're in somebody else's house and we see how a collection looks once it's been collected. We get this idea in our head that we want that collection too. And we forget about the collections that we've already had. So I'm still trying to figure out how to explain this idea of collections to you so that it makes sense. But the older I get, the more I realize I have a lot of stuff in my house that I like and I've paid for and I use. We don't need it. I mean, nobody needs collections, but I do like it and I've used it. But I don't know as I need it anymore. But I don't like the idea of getting rid of something that I've collected over a long period of time. And I'm recording this as the holidays are coming up. You know when the holidays come and you look at the list of the people that you need to buy for, what collections they like. So at one point, my father-in-law liked these horses. They had a certain name. I don't know what they were. But for like 5 years, we would buy him a horse each year because that's what he collected. Or, you know, I love snowmen. So every year since I've met Greg, which is 27 years ago, I get snowmen every year from his family because I love snowmen. And I do love snowmen. My snowmen collection is almost equivalent to my Christmas collection. So when we take down the tree and put away the Christmas decorations and I bring out the snowmen decorations, the only difference in the amount of decorations in our house is the fact that there isn't a tree up anymore. And usually we leave up a smaller tree longer with all snowmen decorations on it. And I love snowmen and I love collecting them, but you can get to the point where you have too many. And lately, I've been actually getting rid of some of my snowmen. Don't tell my family. Because who needs 45 snowmen? Nobody needs 45 snowmen. And you feel guilty. Like, I feel guilty if I get rid of any of the snowmen that Greg bought me or any of the snowmen that have a higher value. Like, some of my favorite snowmen are worth like $3. And some of the snowmen that I really don't care about are worth like $50. But I don't really... They aren't my favorite snowmen, and I can't even really explain why. And now I'm thinking I sound crazy recording this podcast. But I think these are the discussions that we need to have. So often when we look at our house and we look at clutter, we look at clothing that's been outgrown, or really it's an overabundance. If we have clutter in our house, it's because we have an overabundance of stuff and a deficiency in time. We may have a deficiency in time because of the season of life we're in, because of the amount of responsibilities on us. I mean, if you're working 9 to 5 and a single mom, you're lacking time. I don't know how you're going to gain time. You're lacking time and you're going to get clutter because you're lacking time. But a lot of the people listening to this podcast are not working 9 to 5 anymore. And if they had children, the children aren't in the house anymore. And it's them and possibly their spouse and their stuff. And there's a lot of clutter and they have plenty of time. But, you know, one person's clutter is another person's treasure. And what was once a treasure to us in the past could be clutter now. But what do we do with these things that have real value, that are really expensive? So this is funny. I don't know what Joey was doing, but we have china. We have Waterford china that I got, or glassware that I got when we were married. My mother has Waterford. All of my aunts and uncles on both sides have Waterford. My grandmother has Waterford. Like, it's some, everybody has Waterford. So if you get married, you get Waterford stemware. It's very expensive. It's like $50 or $60 per glass, but it's something that you typically will register for when you get married, and people will buy it as a wedding gift because you have it forever. So we have a couple of pieces of this Waterford, and the sun happened to hit my grandmother's china cabinet, which the Waterford is in, and made rainbows in the room. And so Joey noticed the rainbows. And so he went to the cabinet and he pulled it out and he brought it into our bedroom. And he goes, "What is this?" And Dad goes, "It's expensive. Don't break it." And Joey's like, "But what is it?" And Greg was like, "It's Waterford." And I'm sitting here going, we have been married 20 years. Do you know how often we have used that Waterford? Like, maybe 3 times. Like, we never use it. We never use it. And here we are, we're telling a teenager not to break something that we clearly don't even use. Like, we just own it. But I like it. And I don't know, maybe someday I'll pull out the china we never use and the Waterford we never use and my great-grandmother's silver that I have. Like, my silver is the same silver that my great-grandmother had. That's super, super cool. But I'm not using any of it. And the more I declutter my house, and the more I get to the point where I don't look for anything, and I am living a life that is very organized, productive, free, I have more free time every day, the more I look at these kind of items and think, well, we don't really use it or need it. I don't even know if I want it. I kind of want it, but we have it. And as I'm not to this point yet, but I can totally see, especially as I look at my grandmother, who's 90, you know, she is surrounded by the things she loves and she wants and she likes. And everything that is left in her little apartment that she has is of high value. Like, she doesn't have any clutter, but she has all of these collectible items. I think actually, though, she's given away her china to one of the grandchildren. I'm not sure. She is giving away even these kind of items, but she has a lot of collectible figurine type items and special bowls and jewelry and items like this. And when do we start to give away these items? And I want to give you some ideas for that. First of all, I want you, as I've been talking, you've probably been thinking, oh, it'd be really nice. I would like to have Waterford. Or, oh my gosh, I have all of those things you mentioned and a whole bunch more. And I think we are on a different, but there is a continuum of collections. Like, some people are collectors. I, left to my own devices, am a collector. Like, if I get one thing, I want to get everything that's in the series. If I have a favorite series of books, which I do, I have every single one of the books. And to the point that I let my dad borrow one of the books. I'd already read the book. 5 years later, I went and bought the book that I didn't have so that my series is complete. And nobody is going to reread this series. That's a serious collector. If you would do that, you are a collector like me. And I love having whole collections. Like, I loved having those encyclopedias I got rid of because it was a whole nice, beautiful collection that looked good on the bookshelf. So I like the way a collection looks, a finished, completed collection. I really, really like that. So as you look around your house and think about your own collectibleness, if you are a collectible person like me, then once you get one thing, you start thinking about how many things in that collection you want, where you'll display them, how you'll maintain them. And I think the first step for us is to make sure we're only collecting the things that we still love. Like, would I want a Precious Moments collection today? No, it's not my style at all. I'm more of a traditional, like, a wooden statue type thing would be more appropriate for me than like a Precious Moments, which is softer and rounder and more juvenile looking. Or even, I have both Hummels and Yadros that have been given to me, which I'll tell you about in a minute, from my grandmother and my mother. Those aren't my style either. Like, a Yadro figurine is very sleek and smooth and minimalistic, and it doesn't have a lot of details. It's always in like a white and a little bit of cream and a little bit of blue. It's a very neutral looking little collectible thing. And Hummels are more sturdy. They're also ceramic. Like a Yadra, if you, it's almost like if you look at it wrong, it might break because it looks very delicate. But a Hummel, which is also made out of ceramics, it looks really sturdy and rugged and has more coarse shapes to it. More like, I would say, 1970s coloring. Like it's always like has browns and muted greens and oranges. I believe they're from England. Whereas I think the Yadras are from like, I mean, the Hummels, I think, are from Germany. And I think Yadras are from like the Denmark-Sweden area, more like of an English. I'm probably totally wrong on this. All of it comes from not the United States, though. It's not made in the United States. So my grandmother has a Hummel collection. She's collected a lot of Hummels, and she loves the way those look. And the few Hummels that I have are hers. One I got when her mother passed away. It's this little boy sitting under an umbrella. My sister has a little girl sitting under an umbrella, and I think my mom has the same exact kid sitting under a bigger umbrella, like a bigger version of the little statue. My mom collects Yadros, which makes sense. She's an artist. She has a real refined taste, and she likes that long, you know, lighter colors. Like I remember when we were in high school, she got into a Victorian age, and she got rid of all of the red and green Christmas decorations, and all of our Christmas decorations were like that mauve pink and a Williamsburg blue, because that's what Victorian Christmases used to be like. And my sister and my dad and I all protested for years and years and years until she finally went back to red and green, because we protested so much because we are very traditional and we want red and green Christmas decorations. We don't want to pretend like we're living in a Victorian age. So those figurines represent my mom and my grandma very well. I have a couple of them in my house because they've been given to me as gifts because, as I mentioned in the gift podcast, you give what you like. So they gave what they like to me. I am more of a wooden looking figurine. So I have these figurines. They're made by, her name was Edie. I can't remember the name of them, but she's passed away. And they were actually not ceramic. They're like a plastic, but they were originally carved in wood and then put into a mold, so they look like a wooden statue. My nativity set is that way. I used to have a Noah's Ark with all the little animals that came into it that was made by her. A couple of my snowmen are that way. And it is something that looks like a piece of wood that's been carved, and it usually has jewel tone colors. All of her stuff had jewel tone colors. I like those colors. So that's what I like to collect. So I have all of those things in my house because I've been given some, and some I like to collect. Now, over the years, I realized, like, as we've gone to a flat screen TV and we don't have that big entertainment center we used to have, our big entertainment center that held our TV that was a tube type TV had a big top to it. And I was able to decorate seasonally on top of that, and I would have a lot of decorations. Well, now that we have a flat screen TV, it either takes up the whole width of whatever it is sitting on or it's mounted on the wall, leaving not as much space to decorate. So over time, I have gotten rid of some of my collectibles. However, I have not gotten rid of any of the collectibles that my mom or my grandmother have given to me because they have a lot of meaning. So while I only have three Hummels, the three I have, one is from my great-grandmother. The other one is a little boy and a little girl looking over a cradle of a baby in the cradle. And my grandmother bought that, I think, for herself when I was born. And then when I had Joey, she gave me that Hummel. And the other Hummel I have is a little girl, and she's holding a little bouquet. And right now I can't think of the story, but I do have it written down. I think that was bought when my mom got married. I can't remember. But everything has meaning. So what my grandmother has done over time, probably over the last 15 years, is as significant events happen, she declutters her valuable collection to all of us grandchildren. She has 8 grandchildren. So as each of the girls turned 21, she would take a ring out of her collection and give us one. So my ring that I got from my grandmother when I turned 21 is a ring that her father bought her. And it's a pear-shaped aquamarine. And both of us are born in March. Our birthdays are one day apart. In a lot of years. My grandmother and I's birthday are one day apart. So both of us, our birthstone is the aquamarine. So her father had bought this ring for her. And on my 21st birthday, that is the ring that she gave to me out of the box because we share the same birth month. And for all of the other girls, they got their rings and had special meaning because my grandma always has special meaning for things. Those Hummels were given to me at special times in my life where it reminded her of times in her life and why she had purchased the Hummel at that time. And in a blog post, I'm not sure if I've done it in a podcast, but I mentioned it in my book also, I have this little tiny end table that's actually a little functional desk that my grandma just gave me recently that's always been in all of her houses that I've seen. So a couple of things I want you to think about here. Number one, what are the collections in your house? Whether you have one piece of a collection or you have a whole bunch of a collection, what are those collections? Where did they come from? Why do you have them? What meaning do they have for you? Like, really think about the stuff that you have in your house. And then second, I want you to think about who else would like these items. Like, could you do like my grandmother did and start to slowly give pieces of this collection out to your family over time? And then number three, do you need the collection at all? Let's say, for example, you had collected Hummels and you have, I don't know, 13 of them, but you collected them and it was something you collected and they have meaning, but they're not like super meaningful and you don't think your family wants them. You might want to ask them, but you don't think it's their style and they're not the collectible type. Then you could think about selling them or donate. Normally I say to donate, but in this case, you're going to want to think about selling them. And there are two places that you can sell collections. Now, the podcast on Friday in 2 days, the next podcast is going to be called Sell It. And I'm going to give you lots of ideas of how to sell all different kinds of things. But in this podcast, in case you don't hear that one, the two ways that I would recommend selling any collectible type item that has value like that is number one, you could go ahead and do it on eBay and you could figure out how to sell it yourself. Or the two places that you can ship it to and they will sell it for you, which is what I recommend, is a place called Everything But the House and Replacements. So Everything But the House, I'm going to explain much further in the next podcast. What they do is they literally sell everything that's in your house except the house. So if someone passes away or if you're moving or downsizing and you've decided what you want out of your house and the rest you don't want, they literally come in and tag and sell every single thing in your house. And they do it through an online service. It's really amazing. So if you're moving and you have a whole lot of stuff, Everything But the House is your best bet. And Everything But the House also takes consignment items. So you can box up just your collectibles, get them to one of their distribution centers, and get it in one of their online sales and not have your whole house for sale. The other way that you could sell your collectibles, which is how I have done it in the past, I've not sold collectibles, but I've sold china, which I'm going to talk about next, is called replacements.com, and it's out of North Carolina. And I've known about this company for a long, long time. They sell collectibles, but they also sell china. So my mother-in-law loves china. She loves china. And she has this really cool strawberry pattern. I think it's by Wedgwood. I can't remember. It might have been her mom's china. I'm not sure. But I remember when Greg and I were first married, we would always buy her a piece of this china for Christmas and her birthday because she wanted to have the whole collection. And that china is no longer in print. So you can't go to the store and buy it. You have to buy it from, you know, like an estate sale. But I don't go to estate sales. So replacements.com is similar to that. It's an online selling and buying china website. And it's been around for a long time. So even in the 80s. So if you have a china pattern and your gravy boat is broken, or you only have 11 plates and you need 12, or you know, whatever, you can go to replacements.com and you can find your china pattern and buy any of the pieces that you are missing. Also, if you decided you no longer want your china, or you've inherited china, or you're just ready for a change, you can sell your china. And I have both bought and sold on replacements.com. And how you sell your china is you have to tell them what you want to sell. So you send them an email of the china pattern that you have, and it could be everyday china, like Longaberger china also. You tell them what you have, and you tell them all the pieces you have, and you send them an email. I haven't done this for a long time. This is how it used to be. It may have changed. And you wait a couple of days, usually, you know, 3 or 4 days. And then you'll get an email back and you will get approval to send in certain pieces. So they won't take everything. So they may say, yes, you can send in all of your salad bowls, mugs, and teacups, but we don't want your plates because they have enough plates or they have too many of the plates and they know how often that they sell. And then you package those up and you pay to ship it to them. And if anything breaks in transit, they don't pay you for that. But they pay you once they get the box. When they get the box and everything is there in good order, pretty sure this is how it happens, they send you a check. You don't have to wait for it to sell on their end. They buy it from you. Everything but the house is a little bit different. They come in and they either do it in person or they box everything up and they ship it from their headquarters here in Cincinnati. And they tag everything and they do an online auction and everything will sell by the end of the auction. And then at the end of the auction is when you receive your money from Everything But the House. So Hummels, Yadros, any kind of figurine, china, that can all go to replacements.com. If you collect paintings, coins, stamps, furniture, bigger items, jewelry, those are all better sold on Everything But the House. But Everything But the House will take everything but the house. It's a good name. All right, so once you've decided what you're ready to sell, and I've given you a couple of ideas where to sell it, let's talk about China. Because a lot of the things I've talked about in this podcast may be totally new vocabulary for you. Like maybe you didn't even know what a Yadro was. And I'm sure there are plenty of things that you could be collecting that I've never heard of because collections are very unique to the kind of family that you are and what your interests and tastes are. But almost everybody I know has inherited china from their parents or their grandparents, and they either want it or most often they don't know what to do with it. It's not that they don't want it. Like they like it, but in today's society, we just really don't use china. I mean, I remember growing up, my mom would have, and we called them tea parties. They were her dinners. They were her tea parties. I'm actually going to have one with her the day after Thanksgiving. We're calling it a tea party. And she is a hostess. That is her gift. And she's an artist. And that table, I'll take a picture of it. That table will be to die for. Like, it'll be amazing. It'll have a table runner. It'll have all the different kinds of glasses and chinas and everything. And she loves to use china. And I remember when I was a child, she had two or three sets of my great-grandparents' china, because as they passed away, she had the china, plus she had her own china. And she would use different chinas at different times. It's just not how we live now. Very, very few people are having these big tea parties. And a lot of us are living a more simpler life with less amounts of plates in general, let alone different chinas for different seasons. So you may have or may be getting ready to inherit some of this china. And often when you see a china pattern that was your grandparents or your great-grandparents, it will remind you of them because when you went to their house, they probably used that china. I'm actually starting to think about using our good china every day because why wait for the once every 3 years that I pull it out, right? Like we should just start using it. So some of the suggestions I have for if you love the memory and you love the person, but you aren't necessarily going to use the china, is to do a couple of these options. If you celebrate Christmas, I love the idea of taking a teacup and putting a nice ribbon on it and hanging that teacup as if it's an ornament on your tree. And you could do that for each family member. So let's say that you have two girls and you have a sister and a brother, and your brother has a boy and a girl. Then you could take the teacups. You could have a teacup for your tree. You could have a teacup for each of your girls. You could have a teacup for your sister, a teacup for your brother, and a teacup for each of his children, the boy and the girl. Doesn't matter if they're a boy or a girl to get a teacup. It's a Christmas ornament, so it's fine. And everybody would have these teacups, and you wrap these up with these beautiful ribbons. You know, you spend a couple dollars on ribbons, wrap these up, give them at Christmas as gifts, and now everybody in the family has one of Grandma's teacups. Then, as you get more china, you might have your mom's teacups or your own teacups. But then you could sell the rest of the china to replacements.com. And then take that money and do maybe a family experience together. Even if it's just all going out to eat and being like, yeah, we sold grandma's china. We're all going to go out to dinner. We're going to talk about grandma. She's paid for this dinner. And we're all going to have these teacups that are on our tree. I just think that's just so much more meaningful than china stored in a box somewhere, giving you guilt, wondering when or if you're ever going to use it. And then every year when you decorate the tree, you can say to your kids, that was grandma's teacup. And I really think it'd be really cool over the years to have these different teacups on the tree. Another idea I heard about that I really like is that you can keep a saucer and a teacup from each china setting. Now, my friends have lots of china settings because their parents had it, their grandparents have it. So some families have like five sets of china. And you'll notice in each family, one person will happen to be the depositor of all of the stuff. Like in my dad's family, one of the family members actually lives in the home that my grandfather had built for the family. So she happens to get a lot of the family heirlooms, right? That's where they're naturally going to go because it actually was grandpa's house at one point. And I just talked to someone else who has hundreds of years of generations of stuff in her house because all of the sentimental items, she's sentimental, and all of the sentimental family items have landed in her house, both on her husband's side and her side. So even though she and her husband have siblings and their parents are still alive, it doesn't matter. All the sentimental historical items are in their possession. And so they're moving these items from house to house to house because A, they don't want to get rid of them, and B, they feel like they're the historian for the entire family because nobody else is taking these items. And so my question to her was, do you want it? And she's really wrestling with that. Like it's her history, it's her family, and she's got all these china sets, and what does she do with them? And her kids are just, you know, still in school. Like, they aren't adults. What would they want? And so how long does she hold on to these things until she finds out what they want? So the decision is not going to be easier by saving all of the china and giving it to your children, because the odds that our children are going to use china more than we do are less and less and less. Like, the grandparents use the china the most, then our parents, we hardly ever use it, and our children, I don't know, maybe won't even know what china's called. Like, maybe they'll call paper plates china by then. I don't know. But the odds of them using and having china, or the entire world switching back to where we all go back to using fine china on a regular basis and getting dressed for dinner in a suit and tie, are like -1%. So somewhere along the line, somebody has to say, okay, there's too much china here and we need to make a decision about it. And then how you're going to follow that through. Then I have not done it, but I've seen and heard about this. There's the idea of using the china and you actually break the china and you can make other art out of it. So you could take a couple of different dishes from different china sets and you could break them and use the decorative pieces of the china and you put them into cement and you could make like stepping stones in your yard. Or I've seen where people break the china and they put them into a glass ball, I think it's a plastic ball, as an ornament on the Christmas tree. Or there's someone I know that takes china and breaks it and turns it into jewelry. Like, they turn it like into little medallions and it becomes jewelry. There are a lot of different ways that you could take the memory, take the item, and turn it into something that you can enjoy on a regular basis. So let's summarize what we learned today about trinket management. Number one, I want you to really think about the collectible items in your house, because when we go through and we declutter, we aren't really thinking about the things that have value, the things that have monetary value to them. Do you really still like it? And do you really still want it? And if you do you want the quantity that you have? Do you want all of the ones that you have, or just a few select ones? And one of the things I've been telling you a lot in this podcast are all of the memories that I have around these trinkets and the meaning behind them, the stories of when my grandmother gave me things, my mother, of past generations. This is not going to surprise you. I've written this down in a scrapbook. So even if you don't want a scrapbook, don't turn the podcast off. Even if you don't want a scrapbook, like, sit down and take a nice piece of paper and a pen and just journal about why you collect the things you collect, when you got them, where they came from, and just put that letter maybe in with the holiday decoration, so that when people are going through your house 50 million years from now, when you've passed, they'll have this letter and be like, oh, that's why she collected that, or that's why that had meaning. And then the meaning and the item could go on to future generations. I want you to think about possibly giving away a few pieces out of your collection to your family members so that you can share the memories with them while you're alive and they can enjoy it. And when they see it in their house, they will think of you and they will think of these memories even though you're not there all the time. I want you to think about, because these have value, finding a way to sell them, get the money, and then do something to create a memory with your family. And finally, just listening to this podcast is going to make you think differently about collections. We get in this routine of collecting things, spending our money, buying things, and every once in a while we need to stop. Just like every once in a while, I'll look at our credit card statement and I'll look at all of the recurring charges that are on there. Do we still watch Netflix? Do we still want Amazon Prime? Do we still want all of those things that we're paying for monthly? And I will eliminate some. Same thing with your collections. Do you still want to add to your snowman collection? Do you still want to have 5 sets of china in your basement? Like, what is it that you're holding on to because it has value? And are you holding on to it because it has value and you don't want to donate it and not get the value out of it? Are you holding on to it because someday you're going to throw this grand dinner party and you're going to use all these different kinds of china? It's going to be fun and you're going to talk about that with your family. All right, I would love to hear what you have to say about this, questions. I'm sure I'll record another podcast, you know, about 6 months from now as the questions come out of this one. But really start looking at how you think about your collections and what you are collecting.